The Oregon Department of Environmental Quality selected just four cities in which to launch its new air monitoring program in local communities experiencing lower air quality. Medford made the list. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Your questions or comments are welcome by email at jx@jeffnet.org. DEQ's new program is designed to empower communities to assess local air quality and identify potential strategies to reduce their exposure to pollution. Joining me with more details is Ryan Bellinson, the Community Innovation Strategist at DEQ, who leads the program. Welcome, Ryan.
Good morning, Mike.
And also joining the conversation is Jennifer Malenik, the Executive Director of CASA of Jackson County. Welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, Ryan, one of the daily rituals that many of us have grown accustomed to during the summer months anyway, is checking the air quality index whenever we check the weather. Before we get to the new program, talk about how the DEQ captures AQI data that it currently collects and disseminates for public use.
Yeah, so currently DEQ operates a statewide monitoring network. So we have air quality monitoring equipment stationed throughout the state, and that information goes into a DEQ AQI map. And that data captures broad understanding of what air pollution is like in different parts of the state, but at a very high level. It doesn't really get into the differences in AQI or air quality score across different parts of a singular community.
So when we check the AQI, we're checking a large general area.
That's correct, yes. And what's interesting about air quality is the different topography of a community, the different wind patterns, all have an effect on how pollution is spread throughout a community. So if you're in North Medford, pollution could be quite different than in East Medford or West Medford. But the state air quality monitoring network, we don't have the type of equipment stationed across communities to really pick up on the differences that exist at a community scale in pollution.
Well, it's interesting because we tend to think we're all breathing the same air, but we're probably not. Tell us about this new program and how did DEQ determine which Oregon cities would be best suited for it?
Yeah, so at a basic level, Community Air Action Planning, or CAP, is a place-based approach to thinking about how we can improve communities' knowledge about their air quality and understanding of what they can do to protect themselves from different types of pollution. So currently, DEQ operates a large number of air quality programs to target specific types of pollution. And the way this works is looking at how we can reduce pollution on a pollution by pollution or where pollution is coming from source by source basis. And what we're doing through this new initiative, CAP, is trying to think about how pollution is actually felt by a community. There are a number of different sources a community might be facing, and we're trying to then use the community to think about, well, what do we want to do to reduce the emissions that are here now? So the way we selected these communities was looking at what are communities across our state that have complex air quality challenges from a variety of reasons. We looked at pollution data that DEQ has, so the trends of who's facing different sources of pollution and who's facing increasing sources of pollution. And we looked at socioeconomic indicators to understand what communities have particular vulnerabilities that aren't able to protect themselves as effectively from the types of pollution we face. So in Medford, we can look on a wildfire smoke trend report and see, and we all feel this, over the last 10, 20 years, there is a much, much higher amount of wildfire smoke we're facing every summer. And that was a big factor that went into selecting Medford as one of the four communities.
So within Medford, how did DEQ choose specific communities?
Yeah, so what we did was we asked every community around the state. This was something opened up to the public, and we asked the public to tell us whether or not they want to participate in this new program that will give them access to community-scale air monitoring equipment and other resources, other educational resources. And we heard from just over 200 people from across the state or organizations from across the state. And we did an evaluation to figure out who's the best fit for this program. And there were a number of responses we got from Medford, both from individuals and from community-based organizations. And through the analysis, Medford was selected as the community we'll work with. And what we'll be doing over the coming period is figuring out, as we get to know folks in Medford that are interested in air quality, what are the major concerns people have? We know wildfire smoke is a big issue. Are there any other concerns folks in Medford have about their air quality? And that will help inform where the community scale monitoring equipment gets placed across the community. We'll have about 15 monitoring devices we'll be placing across Medford. So the community will inform where that equipment goes to be able to capture the pollution the community is concerned about.
And speaking of the community, Jennifer, your organization is part of this work, and you're leading CASA of Jackson County as part of this initiative. Tell us more about your work at CASA, and how did you get involved in this?
Well, CASA, first of all, our headquarters is situated sort of near the Liberty Park neighborhood in downtown Medford. So we're in sort of a centralized area in the downtown corridor. But we work to recruit and train volunteers to advocate for children and their families who are involved in the child welfare system, kids who've been abused and or neglected. And our advocates are all volunteers. We have about 250 volunteers. We serve between 600 and 700 children a year. And I found out about this. It came across one of my emails. I have a lot of community emails that come through my inbox. And even though we're not an environmental, per se, agency, the health of our children and families is really important to us. So I wanted to participate and see how we could help the effort.
Well, I'm talking with Ryan Bellinson, the Community Innovation Strategist at DEQ, and Jennifer Malenik, the Executive Director at CASA of Jackson County. We're discussing the DEQ's new community-based air quality monitoring program. We welcome your questions and comments by email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Jennifer, why are low-income communities and minority populations at higher risk of air pollution in Jackson County?
Well, I think they have fewer resources. They may not, to filter indoor air is quite expensive. I myself have had to go out and buy the extra heavy-duty filters for the air conditioning inside my house. I know not everybody even has air conditioning, certainly not in low-income communities. I think they spend more time outdoors. They're perhaps walking. They don't have transportation. And all of those factors, feed into the fact that they're going to have to breathe this air that we've all, sort of been stuck in. And we don't really know what the long-term effects are of especially the smoke pollution that we get on our health. And I think this project is going to identify what the concerns are and seek to find answers for all of us so that we're not just sort of trudging along day by day in it because we have no other options.
So what would you say are some of the top environmental health risk factors for low-income communities that higher-income communities can mitigate or avoid?
Well, access to health care is, of course, one of the big ones. We have some great organizations here that serve our low-income communities for health care, but obviously access to health care is a barrier. Lack of transportation creates a barrier. Food insecurities is a huge one, especially for the kids that we're serving. They oftentimes come into the foster care system malnourished, and even if they're eating a lot, it's usually lower-priced food, so it's a lot of junk food and not really healthy food. There's also substance abuse that is prevalent in the community of families that we serve, often due to addictive factors, but also lack of hope, job loss, mental health concerns, and so much more, lack of housing. These things are all just cumulative for our families.
Well, it sounds like this project is addressing our most vulnerable populations and some of the challenges that they're facing, at least learning about some of those challenges when it comes to air quality. Ryan, what does DEQ mean by community-led action, and why does it matter?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So just to use an example, wildfire smoke is something we can't, as a regulatory agency, we're not able to get rid of. We're not able to take any action that can reduce wildfire smoke from the perspective of a regulatory agency. But what we can do is help provide communities and people like Jennifer that are community leaders information about the type of pollution they're exposed to. So as we were talking about the health impacts of pollution, wildfire smoke has many different types of pollution that is created by wildfires, but PM2.5, very small grain particulate matter, is one of the types of pollution of concern. PM2.5 is about 30 times smaller in diameter than a follicle of hair, and PM2.5 can get into our lungs, deep into our lungs, our respiratory system, and even enter the bloodstream, and has lots of negative health impacts. So what we can do through CAP is help educate the community about what's the harm that can be caused by exposure to these types of pollutants, even over a relatively short period of time. If you're exposed to wildfire smoke in high levels over just a 5 to 7 day period, studies are already showing negative health impacts. So what we can do is help educate communities about what's the level of pollution they're being exposed to and talk about the sorts of actions that can be taken. So Jennifer spoke about air filtration systems. Things like HEPA filters are quite expensive. But what can a community do when it comes together to think about how to protect itself? Are there clean air shelters that we can create around the community? Children are particularly vulnerable to wildfire smoke. So speaking with childcare providers, how can we make sure that there are options to play inside on days that are particularly poor air quality? There's a lot that the community is able to do through small-scale community-led action, but they need to understand what the hazards are and what solutions could look like, and then are able to take steps to mitigate their exposure to the type of pollution that we're seeing more and more of.
So it sounds like the more effective data that the community is given locally, the better opportunities they have for creating solutions. Jennifer, what do you hope will emerge from CASA's participation in this program that can benefit the families that your organization serves?
Well, we are always looking to partner with other agencies and work with the families directly to find out, you know, what are their needs and how can we best address them? And personally, I feel like this is something that falls low on their list of needs. Their most urgent list of needs are housing, food, jobs, you know, mental health services, recovery from addiction. Those are their most urgent needs that fall at the top of their hierarchy. However, this is a very important consideration that I don't think that they even think about, because it's just another day. It's another day with, you know, smoke in the valley, and I still have to walk to work or walk to pick up my child from daycare, whatever it may be. And our hope is that through finding solutions, maybe better filtration, as Ryan suggested, or indoor clean air spaces that may be established in our community, that we will support our families in ways that they're not even aware that they need, but that can also help them do better in other areas. When smoke fills this valley, I don't know about you, Mike, but my mental health suffers. My staff here at the office, their mental health suffers. We all struggle just to accomplish what we need to get accomplished, and we're not part of this vulnerable population. So I'm just hoping to make life better for them and to improve the health of our children, too.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful partnership, and that's all the time we have for this segment. Thank you, Ryan and Jennifer.
Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Very much appreciated. Ryan Bellison is the Community Innovation Strategist at DEQ, and Jennifer Malenik is the Executive Director at CASA of Jackson County.